The West Live. The West Live with Ben O'Shea.
There we go! There's the mark of the year!
Joining me now in the studio, Channel 7 Sports, Mark Reddings. G'day, Skeet.
Hello, Benny. Good to be with you.
How special was it seeing the Brownlows announced here in Perth?
Yeah, on TV, it was terrific. I didn't get the invite, unfortunately. I haven't been covering the game for 30 years, but that's how it rolls in 2021. But there's a few others that got missed out. And I'll tell you what, after watching it on TV, there were a few there that I thought have never seen a game of footy. So it was interesting, configuration of the room. And look, it was terrific to have such an exciting count in Perth, though, wasn't it, with Ollie Wines, 36 votes, Marcus Bontempelli, just three behind him. It all came down really to that last game between Port Adelaide and the Bulldogs, of which Port won, and Ollie Wines from Echuca in Country Victoria, first Port Adelaide player to win it. I think he handled himself really well, and I think it's a great way to kickstart this magnificent week of AFL footy in Perth.
Well, all we could ask for is that the grand final is as close as that count. It kept you glued right till the very end, the last round. And then as far as Ollie's season goes, how do you run the ruler over that?
Look, he was favourite going in, so there's no surprise that he won it.
He's got a lot of touches.
Absolutely, and polled in 16 of the matches that he played in. So that means he was very consistent. He's a midfield bull, and he has polled previously pretty well. So again, all the numbers previously stacked up to him being very competitive last night. He had a bunch of teammates fly over. Of course, the South Australian travel factor is in play, so they can get across and get back. And I think Tom Jonas, the captain, was due to catch a 7 a.m. flight this morning, but at 5 a.m. this morning they realised that he was in no fit state to jump on a plane. So it would have been a big night of celebrations for all concerned. But Ollie, yeah, a really deserving winner, a humble winner. And bear in mind, when he was first drafted, there were tears from himself and his parents because he wanted to stay in Victoria, play his footy there, and even a hint a couple of years ago or a year or so ago that he wanted to go back to Victoria. So it's amazing how life turns out when things don't quite go according to plan. Sometimes it ends up being a fantastic finish.
Yeah, exactly. And what did you make of his post-award speech? He said some very humble things, as you said, that he admitted that he, you know, wasn't a player with the silkiest of skills, did a lot of that grunt work to help other players around him shine. And when, as soon as he embraced that and kind of gave up on the dreams of being like a Nat Fyfe or someone like that, things started to work out better for him.
Yeah, I think once you know in your team what role you play and what your limitations are and what you can do, I think it ends up pretty well on most occasions. And for Ollie, he's a guy that, as I said, he's bitterly disappointed he's not playing this Saturday. I mean, any person would swap a premiership medallion for a Brownlow medal. I think that's a given. So he's very jealous of Melbourne and the Bulldogs because Port Adelaide were thumped in the prelim finals and a bit of embarrassment attached to that. So look, he ultimately, and as you said, his speech was very humble, and he said that I'm just part of a team, and that team failed on the weekend against the Bulldogs, but he now can set himself up for life in terms of being a Brownlow medalist. And you can imagine in South Australia the endorsement prospects coming up for them over the next for him over the next 3 to 5 years are going to be terrific.
Yeah, and the first one ever for Port Adelaide as well, so a historic moment for that club. Do you have any other takeaways from the Brownlows?
Well, let's go just locally. David Mundy, the grand old man from Fremantle, 20 votes, which is a really good effort from him. Every time he was his name was read out by Gil McLaughlin, there was a cheer from the crowd. They acknowledged the fact that he's done such a great job. 10 votes, the top polar for West Coast was Dom Sheets. It shows you a pretty skinny night for the West Coast. It was no surprise, mind you, because their season, albeit they just missed out on the eight, was pretty much below par.
Are you surprised to see Nick Nat not poll better than that as the club's best and fairest?
Well, you'd think that would be the case, but Ruckman invariably struggled to poll votes. You have to go back really to the likes of Scott Wind in the early 90s, Jim Steins, the late Jim Steins. Since then, it's been a midfielder's medal. And there was a game, for instance, speaking of a midfielder's medal, Sam Taylor, WA kid who plays for GWS, had an outstanding game in the back half of the year, just brilliant. Do you know how many Brownlow votes he got? Zero.
Wow.
So it just shows you it is a midfielder's medal. That's why it's no surprise Oliver, Petrarca, Sam Walsh, Bontempelli, and of course Ollie Wines all dominating. But yeah, that was the main event. Of course, there was a lot of a lot of interest in the red carpet arrivals. That's always the case. And the money that's spent on dresses and all that goes with it. And it's
you know, once upon a time, you'd be able to support a small Pacific nation on the amount spent on Brownlow dresses. But these days, a lot of them are hired. So, you know, it's those hiring companies that take home all the cash from this. And now there's a lot of talk about Ben Cousins on the red carpet and his appearance at the Brownlow. How do you think his involvement was received in footy circles?
Mixed, to be fair to say. In footy circles, I think more accepting. But look, there's an argument that can be had given what he's been through, not specifically with the drug addiction, because I think most people are sympathetic to that. But when it comes to the charges and what he went through in a legal sense with his partner, ex-partner, and the stalking and threatening charges, those types of allegations, and I guess let's be put a broad domestic violence against women, it is very much frowned upon by a lot of
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because it seems that people are very eager to sweep all of that stuff under the carpet with Cuzzy, and it's like, oh, it's fantastic, it's great to see him, but you're 100% right. Some of those allegations that he spent jail time for were for breaching those sort of VRO conditions and things like that with his former partner. If it was a politician, that'd be it. You'd be done.
Yeah, true. Look, I was trying to put into context, if he hadn't won a Brownlow medal, which of course he did in 2005, I don't think he would have been invited last night. He hasn't come to a Brownlow medal since he's won one back a long time ago now. So that being said, I think that the greatest barometer for Ben when it comes to being truly accepted in the football community again at the highest level and with the highest honour is the AFL Hall of Fame. And he's a fair way from being put into that category. And you only have to look at Wayne Carey, who's been through his own trials and tribulations, one of the greatest of all time. He has had to bide his time, and so too Gary Ablett Sr., who, of course, was with a young lady who lost her life in tragic circumstances. So I think that is the barometer. I've got no issue with Ben going to the Brownlow medal. I've got a big issue with what transpired previously and why I ended up in jail and having daughters and being a very strong advocate for the horror that is domestic violence in this country, and it just doesn't get addressed. Nothing changes, and the numbers are horrific from a male perspective. So that is parked there. From a football perspective and from Ben's long-term health, if that's a step for him to get back into normality in life, then so be it.
And hopefully everyone wants to see the best. Everyone wants to see the best for him. They want him to be healthy and want him to get on with his life. And hopefully he's taken another step along that path. And now, talking about the steps along the path to the big grand final on Saturday, what can we look forward to this week?
Well, there's a bit happening. We know, as Matty said, the Premiership Cup on Rotto, getting a quokka selfie, I'm sure, at some stage today. A beautiful day for it. In fact, the weather is going to be terrific this week, so we are blessed. There's In Forest Place every day. It's called the Footy Place, as it turns out. And I might be in there just a little bit later this morning. We've got Nat Fyfe, Jager O'Meara, Stephen Cornelio and Liam Ryan. They'll be part of the build-up. Every day there's going to be special guests going through Forest Place with the City of Perth, of course, backing it. And a couple of tickets to give away each day as well to the grand final. So that will be something to keep an eye on. Speaking of grand final tickets, I heard a very funny story this morning about a local teacher who got his students at about 9:30 or quarter to 10 last Thursday to all go on their laptops and hit Ticketmaster up to get two tickets. And guess what?
Did it work?
A student got two tickets. The teacher reportedly took them and said, sayonara. That was a bit cheeky, but it worked. Well played.
Wow. Good use of the students' time as well.
Yeah.
And I think they learned something about life on that day.
Exactly.
Maybe not much about education.
No, but certainly the teacher profiting from the smart work of the students. Both teams, by the way, the Melbourne and the Bulldogs, will train today, and they'll continue their lead up. Pretty much a normal week for them because they've had last week is a bit strange and the Bulldogs just freshening up. But for Melbourne and the Western Bulldogs, it'll be normal training today, Monday, and Friday, probably a captain's run in the morning. There's a bit of an issue with Charlie Spargo at training for Melbourne during their session on Saturday night, but I think he'll be okay.
And how did that session go? Because they said that they were going to go hard at it. Was that the case?
Yeah, I think, hard at it, it's all relative, isn't it? I mean, you're not going to go full bore and sling tackles and confrontational.
I thought you'd be crazy if you did.
But yeah, you still have to get some competitive juices flowing because, as it turns out, the Bulldogs have had a good body of work over the past month and Melbourne have had just really that qualifying prelim final. That's two games in about a month. So I think they needed to get get that out of their system on Saturday night, and hopefully it freshens them up and just keeps them motoring along towards Saturday evening.
Yeah, it certainly adds a bit of intrigue, I think, having both teams get that extra week off before the grand final. Well, we'll be following it very closely this week. Looking forward to seeing your reporting on Channel 7 as well. Mark Reddings, thanks for joining us on the West Live.
Good on you, Ben. Thank you.